Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krops.
All right, welcome everybody. This is Political Coffee. It's great to have you with us today. We are going to have a little bit of a different show today. We'll start the first hour in kind of the normal way. And second hour, Stacey Ann is going to be joining us from CPAC. Not sure if it's going to be in a booth quite yet, but there are people there from Oregon and other people that she's going to be interviewing. So in the second hour, we will try to hook up with her to talk about what's going on at CPAC and all the excitement and the energy that is there. So, friends, let me ask you something. Do you think that history repeats itself? Well, and I think that's kind of a fact of life, isn't it? Isn't it sort of human nature? Well, I think it is. Is history repeating itself right now in America, where there is a process in place by which a free society, America, might be brought to collapse? Well, there is some serious thought being put forward that, yeah, in fact, that's happening. And there's an interesting piece in the Gateway Pundit about this. It is entitled "Warning for America: The Four Steps of Marxist Takeover Were Activated in 2020. And it's from a piece that Scott McKay wrote in the American Spectator. And it's based on the words and the warnings of a Soviet defector, KGB agent, Yuri Bezmenov. Now, what's interesting about this is this was done in 1984, folks. It's an interview that was conducted by author and filmmaker and a John Birch Society gadfly, as the article calls him, G. Edward Griffin. And it was done with the Soviet defector and former KGB operative named Yuri Bezmenov. Now, before we go any further, let me just say that this is based on human nature, and that it has apparently worked pretty successfully. Precisely what this plan was, as laid out by Marx, folks, Karl Marx. And that the Soviet Union and the communists theirs perfected this in Eastern Europe, North Korea, North Vietnam, then Vietnam, Cuba, Nicaragua, various African countries, and recently in Venezuela. And now what's happening in South Africa. So is it possible that it's happening here? I would say there's a fairly serious case that it is, because it relates also to some of the things that are happening in Oregon to this day. Like this story out there from Channel 13 in Eugene about how Oregon OSHA has fined another Florence restaurant. Remember, I've shared with you that they have opened up numerous restaurants on the coast, have been open actually for quite some time with indoor dining, and they're being fined because it's either that or they just go out of business altogether. Well, an Oregon OSHA inspector fined another restaurant this time. And he did an inspection except he didn't do it in person because he wanted to avoid, quote unquote, armed people. So he does an inspection by telephone. And he fines that restaurant $17,800. Twice the minimum penalty. And it's Oregon OSHA Administrator Michael Wood that imposed the penalty. Now, he didn't go there and observe. No inspector went there and observed anything in person. You think this ought to be challenged in court? I do. But it's part of, I go back to this, the four stages of a Marxist takeover. It's one of the components. And that is the beat down of the norms of society, where we the people have accepted these things. And it relates to other things. There's a KGW story out there about how the Oregon Health Authority has pulled that television ad. Remember, it's the one about the fishing crew off the coast, and they can only have so many people on the boat, and they've got one too many guys, so they throw him overboard? Oh, yeah, he's towing a lifeboat. Well, that didn't sit too well with the residents of Newport. So the Newport mayor raises some pretty serious concerns, and they pull the ad. In fact, they remove it from YouTube. You know why? Because it's pretty insensitive. You know, the party that's supposed to be so sensitive to the needs of the people, the Democrats, it's pretty insensitive to the families of fishermen who have been lost at sea, folks. And in fact, recently on February 20th, what is that, 5 days ago? A fishing boat capsized off the Oregon coast, killed two crew members. So what is it in the minds of the, I mean, it's kind of a funny ad, right? But if you start thinking about it, I mean, in this oversensitive society that we live in, the cancel culture, you can't say anything. And if you do say anything, if you express your opinion about anything, you're called a racist. And then you get your windows shot out, like another story that's in the Oregon Watchdog, or you get rocks slingshotted into your windows. Why? Because you oppose global warming cap and trade ideas. Okay. Now, do you think all of this is leading to a Marxist takeover of America? Because I think there's a fair case here to be made that the four stages of a Marxist takeover are in place, and they were put in place primarily in 2020. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. I'll tell you what those four stages are in a moment here, but I just kind of want to get your initial reaction. Do you think that a free society can be brought into collapse by Marxist ideas, revolutionary ideas that are being put forward? Is that possible? Is it possible in America, or do we have patriots that are willing to stand up? Like these restaurants, like along came Trudy's in Springfield, that has been opened and they've been fined. Her business has never been better. And yes, there have been armed people at the doors, just not allowing in the health inspectors. And how about the story that we had about Yamhill County Commissioner, new Yamhill County Commissioner, Lindsay Burschauer, who, along with another Yamhill County Commissioner, Mary Sterrett, voted in favor of just simply not enforcing Kate Brown's unconstitutional executive orders in that county. County health inspectors are not going to be doing that. Now, it doesn't mean that Oregon OSHA can't go in there, because they can. But the idea that you would conduct an inspection by telephone, that needs to be challenged in court, because how do you know? How do you know? Oh, you've got snitches, people reporting you. Does this sound a lot like the Soviet Union, the Eastern Bloc communist states, where an estimated 1 in 10 persons, 10% of the population, were paid informants, snitches, on their neighbors? Could this be one of the elements of a Marxist takeover of a free society? What do you think about that? 503-589-1220. That's the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Like this one from Barbara. And there, she sent me this great PDF. It's from Lee Iacocca from a long time ago. Where have all the leaders gone? Yeah. We could use some leadership in Oregon, couldn't we? Well, she writes this email about the constitutional class that we had at the River Church. Your comments regarding the need for education regarding the Oregon Constitution is spot on and timely. Because of the need to reach as many people as possible, what about coordinating with the Western Liberty Network and others? As you know, WLN just conducted a Zoom meeting with Senator Canope regarding Robert's Rules of Order. And I think a class should be a Zoom meeting for convenience, so that so many who are at high risk because of existing health issues could participate. Suggest reaching out to Cascade or Taxpayer Association of Oregon and others. And other interest groups are concerned about the current threats to our liberties. I do not think this should be a partisan effort. Also, suggest reaching out to Rush listeners. Sorry, that would mean perhaps contacting newsmakers or other stations. Regarding an instructor, Jim Huffman, constitutional professor, ran for Senate some years ago, Emeritus Dean Lewis Clark and Law School, and I'm sure you know he comes to mind. Attaches an article more timely than ever, came across when searching for another favorite. Thanks again for your show. Appreciate all the prep time it needs to reach more people. That's Barbara. Well, all right. It's a great suggestion. I mean, if my thesis that talk radio is going to become ever more important to the future of our liberty because social media is going to shut down, at least for a time, liberty discussions, maybe this is a great idea. Let's take it to the next level. 620 back to home.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. Stop the car.
22 minutes past 6 o'clock. You know, Barbara's piece that she sent me, it's an excerpt from Lee Iacocca's book that he wrote in 2007, and it is highly critical of W. Bush. But, you know, it sounds like it could be written for today. Get a load of this. It is actually the concluding paragraph of this particular book. And the paragraph's title is Had Enough? Hey, I'm not trying to be the voice of gloom and doom here, he writes. I'm trying to light a fire. I'm speaking out because I have hope. I believe in America. In my lifetime, I've had the privilege of living through some of America's greatest moments. I've also experienced some of our worst crises, the Great Depression, World War II, the Korean War, the Kennedy assassination, Vietnam War, the 1970s oil crisis, and the struggles of recent years culminating in 9/11. If I've learned one thing, it's this. Now pay attention to this, folks. Listen. He writes, you don't get anywhere by standing on the sidelines waiting for somebody else to take action. Whether it's building a better car or building a better future for our children, we all have a role to play. That's the challenge I'm raising in this book. It's a call to action for people who, like me, believe in America. It's not too late, buddy. It's getting pretty close. So let's shake off the horse blank and go to work. Let's tell them all we've had enough. Now, Lee Iacocca wrote this in 2007, and it's very critical of Congress, Republicans and Democrats, and very critical of W. Bush. Doesn't that sound like it could have been written about Donald Trump and the reasons why Trump became who he became as the president, why he caught the imagination of this massive number of people in America? I think so. And that relates to tomorrow's protest. Mike writes me an email, said, I'm taking a few hours off of work to come down to the Capitol tomorrow at 8 a.m. And I won't be able to be there at 8 a.m. because I'll just be getting off of the air and I live an hour away. But folks, they're going to be voting on this Senate Bill 554 gun bill that turns a lot of us who have concealed carry permits into felons. Why? Because it lets any government authority in a hodgepodge of to create felony traps to say, well, you know, we just decided you can't come here. You can't even be on our property with a concealed carry permit. That's going to pass out of committee tomorrow. I hope you go on down to the Capitol, folks, and you raise holy heck with bullhorns and everything else, and hope thousands of us show up. Spread the word. Needs to. But that gets back to what Iacocca said. Wake up. We've had enough. Have we had enough of the Marxist takeover of our country? Have we had enough of restaurants being put out of business, small businesses being put out of business because of Kate Brown has said so? While schools are allowed to open now, and Kate Brown was at a school yesterday. Oh, how wonderful. Because you vaccinate a few teachers, now kids can come back to schools where they can spend hours infecting each other, apparently not. But you can't go into an indoor restaurant. And you get fined $17,800 because you are allowing indoor. And the rules are so screwy in a restaurant that it's okay to go in and gamble at the lottery machine, which is socially distanced, but you can't walk into the rest of the restaurant and sit down and have a socially distanced dinner. And it's so screwy. Yesterday, I sat with a man who told me about, actually, I sat with two different men at two different times yesterday. One of them told me about his son, who's now going to be allowed to play football in Silverton. They only are going to be allowed, according to OSAA, six games, and they can't ride to the football game on a bus. No, they got to travel with their parents, or they got to travel in a separate vehicle. And you know what? They get to go play football. Ain't that great? But the parents who drive them there can't go in and watch their sons play football. Is football played indoors? Nope. Played outdoors. Did we learn anything from the Super Bowl and the college championship games, that all the worries that it was going to be a super spreader event? Nope, didn't happen. And yet OSAA says, you can't go in. You can take your kid to a football game, but you can't watch them. And then I found out from talking with another man that his son runs cross country in Oregon. And you know what? To run cross country, you gotta wear a mask. Have you had enough yet, like Lee Iacocca said? Have you? Let's go to the phones to Rebecca. Rebecca, we'll start with you today. I'm probably going to have to hold you over because I just noticed you called. It's on your mind.
I just wanted to say that I think this has been coming a long time. Let's just take one example. The children in Soviet Russia when they went to school, they were interviewed about what was happening in their homes. Already we've seen families turned in by their children, and had the families got in trouble for guns in their home. And I went to a presentation at the Capitol, maybe about 6 years ago, where they were talking about having all-day mandatory government-run daycare from birth. And the person who was the head Democrat there, I don't know if I should say her name or not, but
Rebecca, hang on through the break, and we'll take your call on the other side. Let's talk about this because it's very relevant, folks. It's happening in Oregon in front of our face. 6:30, back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 24 minutes to the top of the hour. In a moment, we're going to go back to Rebecca. I'm going to introduce a new segment of the show today. It's called Quick Hits. These are things that are going on out there, and I'm just going to mention them. From the Liberty Daily, American families would pay up to 43% more for child care, thanks to Joe Biden's $15 mandatory minimum wage. And then, how about this? The United Kingdom's health authorities announced not a single case of flu detected in the UK this year. Huh? And in fact, this is the lowest flu season on record in the United States. Are flu cases being called COVID? And how about this? Joe Biden, his State of the Union address apparently appears to be canceled for now. Why would that be? And then Tucker Carlson exposes the fraud of 11 million illegals in America. How many times have you heard that, right? It's been the same number for 15 years. Nobody believes that. But yet, the press continues to say it. Dwight writes an email. If you want to send an email, it's jeff@kslm.news or jeff@1220.am. He says, this is really encouraging. The facts are undeniable. The seven-day average of new cases in the United States of COVID have fallen by 74% since their January peak. Hospitalizations have gone down 58%, and deaths have dropped by 42%. He writes, when do the control freaks get on board and let us lead our lives? Now is the time to oust the liberals. Let's do it. Well, have you had enough? Like Lee Iacocca wrote in 2007, are we just going to stand by and not show up and expect somebody else to do it? Are you going to stand by and not show up tomorrow at 8 a.m. when they're going to vote out a gun bill that makes you into a criminal? Or are you going to show up at the Capitol with a bullhorn? Let them know it ain't okay. Yada. That's what I think. Let's go back to Rebecca. Rebecca, you were talking about some of the ideas being promoted in Oregon that really are kind of like what they did in the Soviet Union, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And this was a called, this presentation I went to was called the Two-Step Intervention. And the one, like I said, was government-sponsored daycare from birth, mandatory. And the other intervention was that before a baby could come home from the hospital, the home has to pass an inspection by the government. So they're holding your baby captive at the hospital. They already have the baby. And then while they have the baby, your home has to pass inspection.
Now, this was last session, or this was 2 years ago?
This was a presentation that I went to about 6 years ago. And I think it was SB 116 or something that they were requisitioning money to study this, how to do it. And the comment by one of the Democrats at the end of the presentation was, the people don't trust us to do this. We're going to have to make them trust us. Which doesn't mean that the people will trust them because they are trustworthy. It means that they're going to have to do a campaign to convince us to go this direction.
Sort of like driving down the freeway, Rebecca, and looking at all these billboards that say mask save lives. There's a picture of a rancher out in the middle of nowhere wearing a mask. Kids, families, right? Mask save lives. Sort of like that kind of thing, you mean?
Yes. They have to convince us that whatever they want us to do is good for us, and it doesn't matter whether it is or isn't. What will matter is that we comply. And so government, back when George Washington was just helping this country get off its feet, he said, arbitrary power is built on the ruins of liberty, abused to licentiousness. And licentiousness is when you give yourself permission to do something. And the government has been giving itself permission to do things for a long, long time. And we're coming to a point where they are trying to convince us that all of this is necessary for our good. Not because we trust them, but because they are making us trust them.
That's right. Excellent point. Rebecca, thank you, because it segues very nicely into the four steps, of a Marxist takeover of America that were activated in 2020. This is a Gateway Pundit article. I'll have it on the show plan, but it is based on the article written in the American Spectator by Scott McKay. And it's about the Soviet KGB defector who in 1984 laid out these particular elements. It is. Let's go on to another phone call. We'll go to Lisa. Lisa, good morning. Welcome. Your thoughts
today. Good morning,
today.
Jeff. The thing I'm curious about is at tomorrow's protest, we should be having truck drivers there as well, because I think we both know that a lot of them carry to protect themselves. So this is going to affect them too, and I think it'd be a stronger show of support. I don't know what you think about that.
I completely agree. I completely agree. I just don't know. Timber Unity appears to be only going to be willing to focus on one thing, and that's cap and trade. That's what we're hearing. I think that's a mistake, because most of them carry guns.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was my question for the day. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope, and at least it's a great question, because you're right. Everybody ought to be showing up at this thing. Because, you see, if they get to do this, where else are they going to go? What else are they going to go? Are they going to do the things that Rebecca was just talking about? Ultimately, are they going to pass a law that says you can't bring your baby home unless your home is inspected? And guess what? If you have a gun in your home, sorry, can't bring your child home, because now your child is at risk.
Well, I'd be sorry you're not coming in my door.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that, too. There'll be a lot of back alley births if that's the case.
Oh, God, we're going back in time.
Yeah, we are. We are going back in time. Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it. So what are the four steps of a Marxist takeover? From the Gateway Pundit article about this, the first one is to demoralize, to depress you, to make you believe your civilization is lost. Now write that down. The first one is the first of four steps of a Marxist takeover that actually have happened and started in 2020, folks. The first step is to demoralize you, depress you. Okay. Because in the words of Ming, the Merciless, who was a character from a long time ago, to make you satisfied with less. So write the word demoralized, satisfied with less. Scott McKay writes, why do you think ordinary white people are so willing to apologize for the sins of their ancestors and to confess to being racist without even knowing it? Why do you think corporate America is blindly endorsing a Marxist revolutionary organization, Black Lives Matter, that openly declares war on the nuclear family? That's demoralization. I would go a step further. Are you demoralized over the results of an election, a stolen election? Or Trump lost votes on national television and in the county level data in Pennsylvania and Georgia, where votes were actually taken from him, as we know actually happened in Antrim County and in one county in Georgia, one county in Michigan, one in Georgia. The list is long. Are you demoralized because you don't think you can win an election again? Demoralizing you, making you satisfied with less. That's the first thing. And this was according to the KGB agent interviewed in 1984, folks. It's the first step to an engineered societal collapse. What's the second step? Destabilization. Bezimov, the KGB agent in 1984, described the rapid decline in the structure of a society, its economy, its military, and its international relations. COVID, folks, the COVID shutdown of our economy. And as we have numerous vaccines now, and as we've noted, but Dwight noted that all these new cases falling by 74%, hospitalizations down 58%, deaths down 42%. But yet we're still finding restaurants $17,000 by telephone. Oh, there's more. We'll get into it on the other side of this break at 6:40.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. 503-589-1220 is that Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at kslm.news. We'll get back to the four stages of a Marxist takeover of America with a K, folks. Comrade. But I want to celebrate a group that celebrates freedom. It's one of our advertisers. You just heard their ad, Freedom Heating and Air, folks. Freedom is the thing that all mankind yearns for. That's why people want to come to America with a C, not America with a K. Because of freedom. Freedom Heating and Air can make your life better. These are entrepreneurs. These are people who have been in business in the Salem area for 40 plus years. And they've survived the ups and downs of businesses. Why? Because they do a really good job at making your life better. I mean, whether it's keeping you warm because the furnace didn't do too well in that freeze, or the heat pump didn't work right, they can fix that for you. They can do it quickly, whether it's in your home or in your business or, frankly, in your apartment complex or whatever. Or maybe you just want to cut down on the viruses floating around inside your home. They have great air filtration systems that can do just that. Clean it up. Make your home a really safe space. Sounds like a good reason to sit down and talk to the folks at Freedom Heating and Air, if you ask me. Because they believe in freedom. They were one of our Freedom Celebration sponsors. So I want to ask you seriously, if any of those things appeal to you, why don't you give them a call? Check out their website, freedomheatingandair.net. Freedomheatingandair.net. All one word, freedomheatingandair.net. So the first two stages of a Marxist... The first two out of four stages of a Marxist takeover of America. The first is demoralization, making you satisfied with less, or maybe that your vote doesn't count. The second step is destabilization, COVID-19 shutdowns, destroying economies. Ilhan Omar wasn't off script when she suggested dismantling America's economy because it's a system of oppression. She said that earlier this week, folks. And people are defending her, like Common Dreams, The Nation, and even The Washington Post. And even Snopes says, well, she really didn't say that. Yes, she did, folks. That's her actual words. Destabilizing business, destabilizing churches. You can't go to church. You can't go to ball games. Or if you do go to ball games, you can't watch your kid play ball. Or if you're running cross country, you got to wear a mask while you're running cross country. Destabilization. That's the second phase. Third phase, crisis. He writes, take your pick about crisis. Looking for crisis? Take your pick. We barely even remember the fact that we had just had only the third presidential impeachment in American history half a year ago. A constitutional crisis that was wholly and completely manufactured directly out of thin air. We progressed immediately from that to COVID-19, which is unquestionably a manufactured crisis, not the virus itself. Not that the virus itself isn't deadly to a certain portion of the population, but that if you think the panic and destruction is caused, its cause doesn't smack of a manufacturer, then it's clear you've been demoralized. And then the George Floyd riots. The crisis. Got to defund the police. A crisis. Of course, Democrats never let a crisis go to waste, right? An opportunity to impose their will on us. What's the fourth stage? Normalization. The new normal. The statutes and the monuments of our wonderful history, checkered history in some places, well, those statutes and those monuments are gone. The ball games are out, or at least you aren't allowed into the stadium to watch them, he writes. And you got to watch them on TV, interspersed with commercial spots and in-game messaging, pushing whatever memes and narratives the ESPNs and the NBCs of the world and their Madison Avenue partners wish to implant in your mind. Oh, like throw a fisherman overboard. Because you got to have social distancing on that fishing boat. Or that schools have purged American history and culture. And that universal basic income checks have replaced your job, which you can't do because the small business you used to work at is out of business thanks to the policies of the virus. Normalization, accepting you are always going to have to wear a mask. And then accepting, as Scott McKay ends his history lesson in this article, the vote fraud, the locking the doors, six states shutting down at almost precisely the same time in the morning on election, the day after the election morning. And then suddenly at 3:30 a.m., these vans, state after state, pull up with and start unloading all of these ballots, and suitcases come out under hidden under tables. And you get an election fraud. So you have four stages, as, and I'll have the original article that talks about this KGB agent's actual interview from 1984 and how timely it is to today, folks. Because it is exactly what's happening today. So what are we going to do about it? Are we going to show up tomorrow? Today's Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday. Well, actually, today is the... What am I saying? Today is the day that they're having the... You better show up today, folks. Today's the vote on Senate Bill 554 coming out of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Get your bullhorn. Go on down there. Yell and scream, make up a homemade sign. Don't confront the cops if they show up. Tell them you support them. Don't try to breach the Capitol. But don't be afraid to yell. Let them know you're out there. Because you care about your rights. What are you going to do? Have you had enough, like Lee Iacocca wrote? And by the way, there are some great leadership C's, 9 C's that Lee Iacocca wrote in that piece, and I will try to get to them next hour. Next hour, we will be talking with Stacey Ann from Orlando, Florida at CPAC, where Donald Trump is going to be speaking on Sunday. We'll talk to her and whoever she's managed to hook up with, maybe even some folks from Oregon. We'll see. All of that coming up next hour. Don't go away at 6:59. Back with more on Political Coffee.